Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Do we notice when God is in our midst? Do we recognize the moments that God shows us a way? Do we recognize or do we pay attention? Are we even looking for ways that God might be, in fact, helping us? So last Thursday, I was in my office and it was getting time for me to go home. But I could hear in my office David practicing the organ in here, all the way in there. And I decided, you know what, on my way home, I'm just going to stop in and just have a moment, because that is gorgeous. So I come into the chancel, and Jeannie and David now are talking at the piano with the details that an organist needs to know on a Sunday morning. So Jeannie and David finish. Jeannie leaves, and I'm standing there. And I say, well, hi, David. I'm glad you're going to be with us. I'll be preaching this Sunday. For some reason, I don't know why I said that. I just did. And so David says, what are you preaching about? And I said, I'm not sure. I'm not sure because Zephaniah talks about joy. The Lord is in our midst. Philippians, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. And then we have the gospel. You brood of vipers. And I said, you know, I don't know how to put them together. We have this, the third Sunday in Advent. In fact, it is the Sunday called Gaudete Sunday, which means joy. And that's why Zephaniah and the Philippians readings were chosen. And the passage that we sung from Isaiah also is based on joy, because Christmas is almost here. So those are appropriate passages. So what do we do with this gospel from Luke? So I'm talking out loud to David, and all of a sudden he says, have you heard of cognitive dissonance? I said, cognitive dissonance? I've never used that in a conversation since college. I mean, do you talk about cognitive dissonance? I just don't. And so I said to him, just to make sure I knew what he was talking about, what do you mean by cognitive dissonance? And so he's waxing eloquently. And I said to him, can you give me an example in music of cognitive dissonance? That's dissonant. That is not harmonious. So I said, David, what do you do next? So what David is doing is trying to figure out a way to resolve the dissonance. So something beautiful happens. Ah. So I said, aha, I think my sermon is coming. And this is what's going on. So cognitive dissonance. We have God's dream, and we have a reality. And sometimes we are in the discomfort, the dissonance of what we're experiencing and what we hope to happen, of what we're stressing about and the peace that we long for. And today's readings gives us a way. So Zephaniah. Isn't that a great name, Zephaniah? I'm not going to name my dog, next dog, Zephaniah. So Zephaniah is a prophet. He's working with the people of Israel in Judah. They are in a miserable state for most of this letter, this book of Zephaniah, because they're in exile. They're, in fact, the most of Zephaniah's book, he's considered the gloomiest prophet, just gloom. He's talking about what they're dealing with under King Manasseh, and it's very miserable. So there's a lot of complaining, a lot of description of their woes. And then a light breaks through their darkness, which is the Advent message. A light breaks through. And Zephaniah recognizes that in their misery, God has never left them. God is in their midst. And he recognizes the power that shifts when we, even in a moment of dissonance, allow God's strength to give us that peace which passes understanding, which is what we hear in Philippians. So meanwhile, Zephaniah sees the light in the midst of his problems, in the midst of the issues of Israel, and says, oh my gosh, our God, the Lord, has been in our midst. What joy is ours. So this passage from Zephaniah happens after they recognize that no matter what they've gone through, from their struggles, in their struggles, and more struggle is ahead, God is in their midst. Paul, who wrote the letter to the Philippians, is in a dissonant moment. This is also a miserable place. He is in jail. And yet he believes in something, even though in that moment all he sees around him is a situation of imprisonment. And from his prison, he writes to the people of Philippi and says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. The Lord is near, which is repeating what dawned on Zephaniah. Now Paul repeats in Philippians and says, the Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, offer your request to God, and then that peace that passes understanding will come to you. The Lord is the one that reorients our dissonant moments so we're not stuck but can move forward. Yes, we can still be in a painful, unresolved moment. And like David, you try notes on the organ, trying to find the right pattern. So in the gospel, we hear some of the tools that help us find the right pattern. John is in this moment where he's in a cognitive dissonant moment. I know the Messiah is coming. I have this sense I'm the one who's supposed to prepare the way. These people need to change. You brood of vipers, you need to change. There is another way of living life. It's not this selfish, self-centered way. There is a different way. And so the people say, what shall we do? What is the way? And John's response is, well, if you have two coats, you don't really need two coats. Give one away. And then the tax collectors and the soldiers say, well, what about us? What shall we do? And so in that response, John talks about fairness, justice. So in this gospel, the Lord who is coming to us, John says, this is the way to prepare. Be generous and be just. That is the good news that will be proclaimed. Well, these people thought what he was proclaiming was pretty amazing in itself. So some of them say, well, are you the Messiah? Oh, no, I am not the Messiah, John said. In fact, I'm not even worthy to get down on the ground and untie his thong. The one coming after me, he is going to be present to you in such a way, it's almost like fire. It's so powerful. And this presence, this spirit, will be with us always. In fact, we're going to call it the good news. The good news. So these three readings actually work. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Believing that God is in your midst no matter what you are dealing with. That is the reorientation that John was talking about. Reorient. Don't focus on the issue. Focus that there is something else going on, deeper. That God is doing something in our midst, even when we can't see it. And when Paul says, do not worry about anything but pray, we're not praying to make what we want happen. We're praying that we can allow God to be God in our situation. So we don't control it. We let go. Okay, God, you are here. And in that letting go, the reorientation, the resolution of the dissonance begins to happen. And what John says to all of us today, as he said 2,000 years ago, we are the ones we have been waiting for. We are the ones now that will witness what the good news looks like. Even when we are in difficulty, may someone say to you, I know you're going through an awful lot, but you have this certain peace about you. Why? And you say to them, because the Lord is in our midst. The Lord is in this. God is here. That is the Advent proclamation. God is with us is what we celebrate on Christmas. May we be faithful because we are the ones we have been waiting for. Amen.